17 years ago, Geraldine Montgomery was raped and stuffed into the trunk of her own car. Montgomery, a widow and teacher's aide at Kalkaska Middle School, was asphyxiated as the car idled in her closed garage. Late last year, two DNA samples found on her clothes and body were matched to a suspect through a nationwide database. The victim's daughter, Patty Cox, says she did not anticipate what the news would do to her.
You know, you put this way in the back of your mind, and then now it's all brought forward again, and so you're going through all this stuff of the awful last minutes of my mother's life.
And there's another development that she's not at all happy about. A team of lawyers in Ann Arbor and Chicago are using the same DNA in hopes of exonerating Jamie Lee Peterson. Peterson was convicted in 1998 on the theory that there were two killers, though none of his DNA was found at the scene. Patty Cox is a retired teacher, and Peterson was once her student. She insists he should remain in prison.
And I was at that trial every single day for 5 weeks. You know, I've got my notes that I've gone back over and everything that, you know, there's no question in my mind but what he was involved.
Joshua Tupfer disagrees. He's one of the lawyers working to overturn Peterson's conviction.
And people who rape and murder someone leave DNA, leave physical evidence of their presence. We've now tested pretty much everything that could conceivably be tested, and there's not a trace of Jamie Lee Peterson there.
He and other lawyers are preparing to file a motion seeking a new trial for Peterson, who was 23 when Montgomery was murdered. He was jailed in the days following the murder for having sex with a 15-year-old girl. He bragged to a cellmate that he was the one who committed the town's highest-profile case in years, and he repeated his confession during a lengthy interrogation with police. But he later recanted and pleaded not guilty. During the trial, Peterson's lawyer argued the defendant had limited mental capacity and that he gave incorrect answers to police questioning about the events of the murder. Defense lawyers also questioned the jury's guilty verdict, believing it may have been the result of pressure in the community to pin the crime on someone. Karen Sedgwick, the jury foreman, claimed several years after the trial that she was pressured by other jurors to convict Peterson. She even signed a sworn statement to that effect.
Because I always felt guilty after the trial that they didn't get a just trial. Because from the very beginning, everybody had him convicted before the trial even started. Everybody in that room knew Mrs. Montgomery or knew of her growing up as through the school system, and I was the only one that did not know her.
Peterson's lawyer tried to have the verdict overturned on appeal, but that failed. The thing that bothered many people, whether they believed Peterson or not, was the unmatched DNA. That meant there was still a killer on the loose. But police and prosecutors refused to have the DNA from the crime scene put on a national database. Then last year, the case caught the attention of attorneys specializing in overturning convictions through DNA. Tupfer is one of those lawyers, and he can't understand why anyone would have not made the DNA available for a match.
I mean, that's what was different and mind-blowing in this case. I mean, why law enforcement wasn't interested in finding that out for 15 years, I don't know the answer to, and I don't think there is a good answer to.
The current prosecutor in Kalkaska County agreed to have the DNA put on the database. Before long, they got a hit on the profile of Jason Ryan. Ryan is a Flint area native who was staying in a house near Geraldine Montgomery's at the time of the murder. Yet the perplexing thing for many people is that Ryan was picked up and questioned in the early days of the investigation. He submitted to a DNA swab, but that sample was never sent to a lab for a profile. He did pass a lie detector test, and police have said they checked out more than 100 potential suspects and did not have the funds to have all of their DNA processed. Jamie Lee Peterson's parents still live in Kalkaska. With the new developments, they are optimistic that he'll eventually be freed. Still, they're bracing for a long fight. His mother, Becky Peterson, mainly keeps in touch with him by mail.
We haven't seen him in probably 2 or 3 years. We have an old car that doesn't run that good. Plus, I've been very sick the last few years.
She says her son spends about 23 hours a day in his cell, where he's in protective custody because of a gambling debt with other inmates. He spends 1 hour a day in the exercise yard. She knows her son has had his problems with the law, but is certain he's not a killer. He has completed his sentence for statutory rape and is now living out life without parole for the Montgomery case. Becky Peterson, who has to take an oxygen tank wherever she goes, says she has one wish.
I want to see him again before I die.
The victim's family and local police are strongly opposed to Peterson being freed, and at this point it looks like Kalkaska is in for two more trials before this case is closed. This is Tom Carr in Kalkaska for Interlochen Public Radio.